This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Camp so far, good? Bet? Like, how do you feel about it so far? Just generally.
Yeah, training camp, you're trying to enforce, you know, reinforce all your habits that you want to take with you throughout the entire season. So there's obviously things that there's ups, there's downs. When you're the head coach and the defense looks good, the offense it might not have had a good day and vice versa, right? So, you know, it's a lot of ups and downs. It's a lot of getting things corrected. It's a lot of reinforcing your habits. So anytime you're in the middle of the process, it's a good thing. So we're getting better as days go on, and we're fixing mistakes, and that's the goal of training camp.
So far... What would you say is the best result, the best thing you've seen so far, and what would you say that you think you need to work on so far? The number one thing for both.
Yeah, you know, again, you're looking at, obviously we're not taking guys down to the ground and tackling, but you're looking at angles. I thought our tackling has looked good so far. I think our block destruction on defense has looked good. I think our combo blocks on offense have looked good. Those guys work in good tandem together. We're taking care of the football as ball carriers. You know, I think the guys are catching it good. It's always going to come back to me, the fundamentals of football. And so we're improving on that. You know, we're trying to improve on that every day. And I feel like, you know, as we watch the tape, you know, those are things that we put on the tape, and that's every team meeting. We're going to go through those things. As we watch those, I've been encouraged by that. I've been very encouraged by that, and I can see that our fundamentals are getting better. Something that you don't, you know, get to, what you guys don't get to see is in training camp, like the guys are coming together, right? That is such an important part, that you're growing together as a team, and I feel like those are things that aren't quite as visible, but the guys are doing a really good job of connecting with each other right now. You know, sometimes it's connecting through celebrating together on the field. Sometimes it's connecting through just being in the locker room and long days together. But sometimes it's connecting through suffering together, the hot days, the long days, the conditioning, all those different things. And I'm encouraged by that as well.
How's it been for you to keep the team sort of focused, motivated, focused on this season, blocking out the noise about things from the past season? How's that been for you as the coach, trying to keep your guys on the right line?
I think we just have great guys on this team that have this high competitive, relentless competitiveness. And when you have that, you know, it's easy to keep them focused at the task at hand. We spent a lot of time in the offseason talking about not looking too far into the future, not even thinking about the past, and just being in the moment. And that's really, regardless of whether we won, whether we lost in the Super Bowl, or we lost in the first round, that's really been our message from day one. You have to be focused on where you are at this particular time. Now, sometimes that's easier said than done, But I just think we have the right guys in this building. I can't tell you enough of how competitive these guys are. And that's the biggest thing, right? That they are so competitive that they're trying to get better every single day. They're going out there and competing their butts off every single day. They know what the things that it takes to get to the final destination that they want to get to. But it takes daily work. And that's why I think we just got a really good, mature team.
I think this is your fifth training camp, right? Just going into your fifth year. I know we don't like talking about being Super Bowl champions, but that's on your resume, and you've appeared in two of them. What do you think that you've gotten better at as a coach going into your fifth year now? And what would you like to improve, continue to improve as a coach?
Yeah, you always want to improve on things. There's multiple things that I'm like, man, I can be better at this. Just even in the preseason game the other day, you're looking at the operation, you're looking at things. And there's things that came up. I'm like, I got to do a better job at this. And, you know, you can't be one of the leaders of the football team and be content if you want the entire team to grow. So you're constantly looking for that. I think just big picture is one thing, one area I feel like I've improved on is, you know, when you're kind of involved in the everyday operations of the offense, sometimes you can get zeroed in on, hey, just the offense. And, you know, when I'm able to take a step back from that, I think that that's given me an opportunity just to be, you know, big picture, more big picture aware, which is so important for the head coach. And so I would say the list goes on about the things that I can improve on. But that would be one specific thing that I think I have improved on.
What about the job has been different than you thought it would be? Like, I imagine going into it, you were around it, right? But then being in that chair is different. Has there been anything that's surprised you about
You're saying
it?
As the head coach?
As a head coach.
Man, I feel like being fifth year, this question, you know, I'm trying to think back. there's so many things, again, that you don't necessarily prepare for as the offensive coordinator, right? Whether that's you know, whether that's messaging to the team, whether that's the connection that you have with every single person on the team and every single person in the building, or, you know, media, right? Where you do one media session a week as a coordinator, and then you got to do a media session as your opening press conference and not come off so hot. You know, it could be any of those things, but you know, there's a lot of things that. You know, the job's different, right? The job is just so much different. And yeah, I think I'm settling in, but I just want to continue to get better.
Do you find it a challenge? So one of your, we think one of your best attributes and one of your jobs is culture setter, right? But when you are in charge of so many or overseeing so many things, your one-on-one time with people is probably more limited than you would want it to be. So how do you go about setting a culture when you don't have quite as much time with an individual as you may think you would, or as you may want to?
Yeah. You know, again, that's when you're big picture, you are able to seek out somebody that's going through a rough time, or that's doing really well, or you're finding opportunities to be able to do that. And you cannot talk to every single guy every single day. There's 90 guys on the team and then the people in the building, but it is being able to, know who needs attention at the certain time. And I guess there's not a handbook for it. It's just like, man, this guy might be going through something, spend some time with him. It's being, purposeful of doing it every single day, as far as trying to bring a guy to my office, try to go through the stretch lines, watching the tape, being able to point something out to individual guys on tape, being able to grab that guy after the meeting, after a team meeting where I did talk about him on tape and reconfirm what I talked about. So you might not be able to get individual time with every single guy, but you're trying your best to do that as much as you can. But really, your job is to set what the acceptable standard is, right? It's, hey, here's what the standard is, here's what the standard looks like, and here's what the standard can't look like, right? Whether that's tough, detailed, or together, which is the main things that we talk about, and you're constantly reinforcing that, right? So, you know, somebody had asked me, how do you kind of get into where your culture is? And I said, well, first thing you got to do is you have to come up with the things that you know are important for your business, you know, are important for your family, whatever it may be. Because those are the things you'll constantly go back to. Tough detail together. I think that's what I feel like is the constant, the things that are important for a football team. Then you have to be able to show what that looks like. And sometimes, you know, what does team look like? What does together look like? Pardon me. What does toughness look like? What does detail look like? And you have to be able to show what it looks like and what it doesn't look like. And then the third aspect of it, what I would told this a couple guys here that asked me this, is you have to be relentless, just relentless bulldog about what the standards met and when the standards not met. And so, and then most importantly, my message to anyone who asked me that is you better be living these things out yourself. And that's the most important thing. And so, that's, you know, it takes relentless work, but that's what you're trying to do. And I'm trying to do that every single day. So when I can't be able to have a one-on-one conversation with a player, they still know what's required of me as the head football coach by our messaging, by the team meeting every single day, et cetera.
Talk a little
long answer.
Nah, that's
it's
good.
A good answer.
That's
a great answer. It's a good answer.
Great answer. I want to get into a little bit of football here with you. You've mentioned the offense. Another new coordinator for you, even though you've worked with Kevin for many, many years. I'm wondering for yourself, being an offensive guy, what does Kevin bring to the table, to this offense that was so great last year, especially in a running game? What do you think he adds to the offense this year?
You know, Kevin has and I have been together for 8 years, eighth year, three in Indianapolis. This will be our fifth year. So Kevin's, you know, ideas that he's had, right? A lot of those are already in, right? A lot of those have been in because I haven't left just because Kevin was the pass game coordinator. I didn't say, hey, what are your, I'm not interested right. in your ideas. So his ideas were already in. But what Kevin, you know, obviously Kevin is what I admire about Kevin is how hungry he is for this job. Right. And like, hey, he's went through different coordinators here. And it's now it's his turn. And he is so hungry for this job. Like when I get here in the morning, he's here. When I leave at night, he's still here. And now I don't make him do a time clock or anything, but I imagine he might be winning in that aspect. But he's so hungry for the job that, you know, the things that he's studied and the new wrinkles that he's put in, I've really admired how hungry he is. And that's what you want from your players. That's what you want from your staff. And the benefits of Kevin, you know, he's got great relationships. Kevin is a great relationship guy. And he's got great relationships with these players, you know, with Jalen, with our offensive line, all the offensive guys. And so, you know, whereas Kellen was coming in fresh, right? Well, yeah. Kevin's already got this relationship. You're already starting, you know, you're already starting out ahead because he has those relationships. And he's just got a great football mind and is always wanting to grow. So, I just think he's doing a really good job right now. And obviously there's ups and downs as you go through training camp, but I admire how much he learns from when he, you know, feels like he makes a mistake to get better, or when I tell him he makes a mistake and he gets better. And he's doing a really good job, and he's a great football mind, good person, great relationships with the players. I think that's all really important.
After you guys won the Super Bowl, you're like a fiery, lot of personality guy. We used to joke that.
Thank you.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good.
Yes.
No, I'm a convert, man. I'm a convert. I'm a very big, like, I really appreciate how you run the team. I appreciate how you talk about it. I appreciate the culture stuff. One thing that we joked about was, all right, this is going to be the summer of Nick, right? We're going to see Nick in Avalon having a good time. You're going to have, like, it's going to be the best time ever. And it was the most quiet. We didn't get one summer of Nick moment. So I guess the question is, did you go into the offseason having won the Super Bowl with a concerted effort of, because you talk about setting an example, right? Was that in your mind that if I'm out there doing things, then it may reflect on the players? Did you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, you always, as the head coach, you always want to conduct yourself. You want to be yourself, I think, first and foremost. But you always want to conduct yourself how you want everybody to act. Like, you don't. So I wouldn't say it was. I would necessarily thought about it, and it was just. I really, this whole entire off season, my mindset has been, how do I get better? Period. For instance, you know, we did a really good job of protecting the football last year. We did a really good job of taking it away, particularly in the playoffs. And when you know you're good at something like that, or tackling, or, you know, we were number one in the league in drops. Well, when you play a team, they're going to say to themselves, well, we can't turn it over versus the Eagles. So we better be better at taking care of the football. And we need to make these tacklers miss a little bit more. So we better be better with our yards after, you know, yards as a ball carrier. And so when you know your opponents have that mindset, you better have that. You better have that same mindset of, how am I going to get better at the finer details? Because those are going to be, you know, when you're on top, people are going to be finding ways to try to beat you, whether it's scheme, whether it's fundamentals. And so my mindset was, how do we get a little bit better at tackling? How do we get a little bit better at taking the football away? Because I know we'll need those things coming into this season to be able to have the similar type of success that we had this year. And so that's all been my mindset. Like, I have a niece that's in seventh grade, and she was an all-state basketball player on the varsity basketball team this year. And I said, if you stay the same, like, you averaged 18 points a game or whatever, what it was. If you stay the same, you'll average 16 points next year a game. You won't average 18 again. So you have to get better. And I'm like saying this to her, and I'm like, well, hey, dummy, you better be thinking the same exact thing. So that's been my mindset. And I feel like that's always really been my mindset of not being satisfied with anything and just always trying to improve myself.
You did have some fun, though. I mean, like, as humans, sure. We want, okay, all right.
Just, yeah, I mean, like, the parade.
Just wanted to make sure.
The parade was awesome.
But even after the, like personal Nick time. Like, you're a Super Bowl champion. I just want you to at least have a week where you're like, ha-ha.
We had some vacations. All I don't right, know if I ever right, did right, that, but okay, like, but right. I had a couple vacations all that right, we were able to, sure. to get out. So, yeah.
All right. So we only have a couple minutes left with you. We have most important questions, three quick ones. First of all, you have a great practice. The weather's great. You're driving home. The windows are open. What music is on the radio? And is there any chance WIP is on the radio instead of music?
I try to stay away from all media notifications. Now, I will listen to WIP. I do like, one thing I do really like listening to is baseball games.
Okay, all right.
So I will listen. LA, it's yeah. so like, it's just
relaxing.
It's very relaxing.
Yeah.
So I'm either on the phone calling okay. my dad or my brother or a friend.
Is there a song? Is there like a hyped up Nick just kicked ass at practice song?
I don't come in with the song, like, and then I'm gonna get amped. That's like it's late all at right. night. I don't, okay. you know. All so right.
okay.
I don't listen to as much music. It's talking, right. or I will. I do like listening to the Phillies games. I think that is whoever those guys. I don't know who those guys.
Scott
are.
Fransky and Larry.
They
Anderson.
Do a good job.
They do.
They
a great
do a good job.
Job.
I feel like I'm at the game, and I'm. I'm excited for the Phillies to keep going this year.
Elliot Shore Parks. We have an award we give out to the beat writers called Eagles Insider of the Year. Elliot won last year.
Good for him.
Do you feel, but do you feel like he is bringing the same sort of energy that you guys are to
are you,
be champions?
Are
again?
You implying that Elliot's content?
Look, all I want to do is make sure he's working hard. Yeah.
Hey, you guys talk to Elliot more than I do. I will try to make sure, like, because again, I want everybody in the building to have this growth yes. mindset. And that goes for our media as well. So
absolutely.
I will make sure I say something to Elliot that you guys think he's content and he needs to have a growth mindset going into this season.
And pro,
I'm on it.
And pro or anti Elliot training camp statistics. Come on, man.
I like Elliot. I think you're setting me up.
No,
I do like Elliot.
No,
though.
No.
I'm a little anti the statistics.
That's right.
I'm a little anti.
So is everyone.
That's fine. All right, Nick. We appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, coach.
Yeah, thanks
Thank
for
you
having
for
me,
the
guys.
Time, man.
Good luck
for
the season.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last day of camp with Lane Johnson. Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
So, best thing about training camp, worst thing about training camp?
Best thing about training camp is usually have really good food, Rita's at every practice. Bad part of training camp is, we got to start our meetings like early. So, like usually, like guys go back to meetings around 3, but anytime the special teams meet, you know, that's when the O-line meeting room starts. So, we're always in there pretty early.
I know it's not fun, right, when you're that guy now where we have to ask you about your longevity, right, your time here. You've been through several coaches. You've seen the greatest of heights with this organization, 3 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowl championships. For yourself, how do you continue to find that motivation to want to come back and be at the best of your abilities?
Yeah, I just – you know, I'm accomplishing everything I wanted to in my 30s that I wish I would accomplish in my 20s. So I think the sense of urgency, you know, knowing that, you know, whatever time you have left, you know, you're kind of coming to the end of it. So I think that motivates me. And also seeing guys that have played, you know, really long time in the NFL, Jackie Slater, Bruce Matthews, you know, Whitworth, JP, all those guys. So they, you know, Trent Williams, those guys motivate me too.
Yeah. When you think about your road, right, to where you are. We all view you future Hall of Famer. Your desire to want to continue to play at that high level. How do you find that? How do you find that sort of, I guess, that mental challenge to want to continue to be at the best?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of my teammates empower me. I see the motivation they have. And I remember kind of, you know, when you're a young gun in the league, you're trying to make a name for yourself. So, I think their intensity is always relatively high, so I try to do my best to match it so I don't get, you know, teed off there in practice. But, no, I mean, those guys are huge motivators. But, like I said, I feel better than what I did when I was 30, when I was going through all, you know, had my ankle issues. So now I feel like I'm, you know, able to be at my best. So
I think you sort of scared everybody the other day. We were watching the Bussin' for the Boys podcast, and you're like, yeah, if we win the Super Bowl this year, I could call it quits.
Yeah.
Like, what goes into thinking about that? What ends up being the most powerful, the most important reason that you would make that decision either way?
Family, because this game, I mean, even when you're not obviously in the season, the demand for it is every day in the offseason, at least for me. So, you know, as my kids get older, my parents are getting older, you start seeing kind of the circle of life, if you will. So a lot of time has been spent in this sport all the way since high school. So, you know, no Thanksgivings, no Christmases. So a lot of people that you love, you know, you realize you haven't been able to spend time with them in 15, 20 years. So that's where I've been.
A lot of the guys that you spent a lot of time here are some of the key guys like Kelsey and Fletcher and Brandon have retired. Do you, when you think about looking forward to it, do you think, Well, mine will be like Kelsey or mine will be like Fletcher because very, very different paths they've taken.
Yeah, I'm gonna be away, so I'm just gonna go now. I'm gonna be a recluse for a little bit. Yeah. Maybe come back. My beard won't be as long. Maybe I'll be clean shaven. So I don't know. I'm definitely gonna take a little break from it. I'm always gonna be around football, but not in this capacity, I'd say.
Yeah, and you still have that love for the game. That's exemplified in your play out there on the field. You know, I talked to the guys. I got 9 years in. Halfway through that ninth year, I knew, like this is probably going to be, it's going to have to take something, you know, that fits me perfectly for me to want to play a 10th year of this game. You seem to be at peace with where you are as a player. Obviously, coming off winning the Super Bowl, you guys want to go back and do the best you can this year. What are some of the things that sort of keep you sort of motivated and wanting to play?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my time I'm working with a lot of the younger guys, so I think when I see those guys improve, or if you watch me on the sidelines during the games, whenever the defense is on, those guys getting sacks, you know, Pat Johnson, those guys that, you know, I go against every day, I feel like, yeah, you know, I've had my help in there, you know, training these guys and them developing me. So, you know, the thing about football, I just love the team aspect. I love being around a group of guys that are, you know, intense, and, you know, and you have to go practice every day. It doesn't matter how you feel. You have your good and your bad days, but – you know, you have the guys to the left and right of you, and that's what I've always loved about football, the team aspect, overcoming obstacles. And, you know, I think a lot of guys in the offseason when they're by themselves, they kind of miss that feeling of, yeah. And so, you know, I think that's what I'll miss too when I step away from the game.
How much of playing for Coach Dowlin sort of makes you want to come back and play, or at least continue to push to play?
Yeah, I love coming to work. I love laying on the line every day, but I love to go in the meeting room, and it's, you know, there's a lot of comedy factor in it, so I'm laughing every day. It's intense, but man, there's a lot to look forward to. You really don't know what you're going to get from the day to day, so it's always entertaining. And so that's where I'm at now, and I get to experience this new generation of music I don't know, and so a lot of changes, you know, a lot of people changes, a lot of music changes, so, you know, I'm getting a good dose of it.
Speaking of music, so, you know, baseball players, when they come up to bat, they get a song. Now we have a reliever here that gets a song. If you could pick, if they introduce the offensive line individually, you each got a song, what would the Lane Johnson song be?
I might be the Jaws, just the theme song.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know, something to build anticipation. I don't know. Shout out to Jaws.
If you could go back and give rookie Lane, you could talk to him.
Yeah.
What would you tell him?
I'd say, hey, let's get that Gillette Fusion razor on that head. Maybe before you step on foot here in Philly. That's what I'd have done.
Man, you had hair back then?
Yeah. It was receding. That sunroof was going back, and I didn't want to let it go. But
yeah,
hey, it
that's went. Like me. That's like me. People don't believe I had hair like my first year or two. But I'm like, yeah, it wasn't. It was there, but it wasn't really there.
After just getting so much ridicule from teammates, I said, hey.
Yeah, you got to let it go.
Yeah, maybe they're right.
Yeah.
So you were a quarterback at one point. Yeah. If you had to go into a play, right, they were like, Lane's got to play quarterback this play. And the most fearsome defensive lineman was there. And you could pick any of your teammates to block that guy, any of your teammates in history. Who would you pick to block that guy?
I don't know. Maybe Malata. He's just – the biggest, the largest. Yeah. You know, he's just a massive man. You know, probably Brooks too. It's, you know, out of him, Brooks and JP. So whoever's weighing the most that particular day is who I'm going to use. So, but Malata right now.
Yeah, I was going to say you have to use Brooks in his playing days. I've seen Brandon.
Yeah,
yeah, he's shed a few pounds.
Yeah, he'll shed. He can get ripped pretty quick. But that's a good question.
So we talked to Coach Sirianni a couple days ago. What do you think meant most to Coach Sirianni, winning the Super Bowl or keeping the tush push this offseason?
Super Bowl for him, I think. It just been in a weird situation, not just for us, but anybody that runs the quarterback sneak, the tush push. You know, the Bills are pretty really good at it. Brady was really good at it in Foxborough, so. Yeah, it would have been we'd have had a whole other goal line package. Maybe put JC at fullback back there, and
there you go.
Yeah, maybe get that going.
So you've had two post Super Bowl off seasons. Did you learn anything post Super Bowl winning off seasons. Did you learn anything after winning the 18th Super Bowl that you took into this past off season as sort of how to handle it, how to think about it? Because obviously, following up a season like that, you've been asked about a million times. You learned something there. Was there anything that you did differently this time than you did last time?
Well, I think I realized that we were getting everybody's best the next season, so. You know, from my standpoint, I just try to remember what got us there in the first place. You know, how are my practice habits? How are my work habits? You know, and I stack those day to day, you know, all those hours, and hopefully the 3 hours that I put on the field represents all the time, you know, out of the spotlight, me working. So I really dive into that. I try not to, you know, think about, you know, who we got to beat this week. It's all about try to take care of little things and that's really it, but it's very easy to become distracted. I would almost say it's a lot harder dealing with success than it is failure. You have a huge motivator with, you know, lots of losses, but when you're winning and people are telling you, you know, how great the franchise is and this, it's a very slippery slope. So you got to choose, you know, how you want to go and how you want to make progress from there.
So final question. We saved the most important one for last. Elliot Shore Parks, where would you, like, rank him in terms of other media? Like, there's a lot of ranking of players, but Elliot as a reporter, would you say he's top half, top third of Eagles reporters?
Bottom third, bottom half.
And we want your honesty. He is a teammate of ours, but he needs honesty.
I mean, he's always been top half for me. I mean,
okay.
And usually style, he might be number one. At least you game, he's
number
one.
Oh, don't tell him that.
Well,
don't
I mean, hey, I wouldn't be saying that if I didn't see it the past 10 years. So, hey, I'm just calling it like it is. Hey, he's got a nice setup of shoes.
What do you think about the soccer jerseys?
Hey, if he likes it, I don't care. Hey, wear that all day. I don't care. Just don't wear some Knicks or some basketball teams around here. It's not the Sixers. I don't care.
Well, we appreciate you, man. You're a great Eagle, great career. I also wanted to tell you, I forgot this. We do a Mount Rushmore week every year here.
Oh, yeah.
And we have people vote on each team, and it was for the last 50 years. And we use our staff for half of it and listeners for half of it, and you were one of the four on the Eagles Mount Rushmore of the last 50 years.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Philly is that, you know, everything that you learn as a player, you learn from guys that have, you know, upheld the tradition. So, guys to the left of me, guys to the right of me.
Well, no, he didn't play. He didn't play.
I know, but still, but you understand what it is. So
I played some stuff.
We're very fortunate to have so many people that are invested in football because it's not like this in other cities, you know. So we're very fortunate. I'm very fortunate to be a part of this.
Appreciate you, Lane.
Appreciate it, brother.
Final day of Eagles training camp with Cam Jurgens. Thanks for coming over, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
We had Lane on, and when you were walking over, I said to Ike, I was like, man, our offensive linemen are athletes. Like, they are in good shape. You know, when we've been doing this a long time, offensive linemen did not always look like you guys. You know, it's changed a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up playing everything except O-line. I mean, in high school, I was like running back, quarterback, receiver, linebacker, and then I didn't get moved to O-line. I got to college, but yeah, I feel like I was just an active kid. I wasn't the fat kid that got put on O-line and had to live there miserably for the rest of my life. I eventually transitioned there, and I actually have a lot of fun now.
That definitely is my era of growing up with football. Yeah, you put the fat kid on the O-line that's not very athletic. Yeah, even Jason. Jason was a linebacker, right? Kelsey was a linebacker, I think, in college.
Yep.
And switched over to center. So, man, I bring up Jason because I know you've gotten this question a lot over the past couple of years, but this is the first time we've gotten a chance to sit down with you. Just your first year of being able to fill in for the legend in Jason Kelsey and the team having that success. For yourself, waiting patiently and then getting your opportunity, what was that like for you?
I mean, I didn't really think about it like filling in for a legend. I mean, he is. But when you go about it that way and trying to fill somebody else's shoes and things like that, you're going to fail. And, you know, I'm just worried about what I could do for myself and how I can get better every single day. And, you know, it's not like I was just waiting patiently. I mean, I started at guard the year before, and, you know, I had a lot of reps under my belt. And so, you know, I was anxiously waiting to, you know, get to center. I feel like center is my spot. But, yeah, I mean, just learning everything I can from him because he's just got so much experience. And, you know, we're blessed to, you know, be here playing in this, you know, Eagles O-line. It's crazy, the culture going into this room. It's just people come here and they get better, and if they don't, they're getting chipped out. You know, it's, you know, you got to do it the right way, and if you're not, then you're going to learn. And I feel like, you know, Kelsey is such a pivotal role of, you know, getting that culture the way it was. And, you know, JP, and when I came in, you know, Lane, Isaac, Land, you know, it's just so many guys across the board, and it's so easy to fall in line and learn from those guys and play hard. And so, you know, it's easy to learn from them. You know, you just got to work hard. That's all it is.
Playing with Jason and Lane and BG until this season, guys that played 14, 15, 17 years, you're 4 years into your career. Do you look at them and think, how did they last that long? Or do you look at it and say, that is something that I aspire to, that's something I can do? It seems like almost impossible to play that long.
I know, especially at the end of camp when your body is feeling it. Right. I'm getting up in the morning, I'm like, damn, this is year four. How they go 14?
That's the question. Is that what you think when you see them?
Definitely. But then, you know, I come in here and I see Lane's work ethic and what he's doing for his body when he's in here and when he gets out of here. So it's like just trying to emulate and follow their roles and figure out, hey, what are they doing with their bodies? What are they eating? You know, things like that. So there's ways to last long, and I feel like a lot of it's just routine based. You know, it's easy to do extra work when your body's feeling like crap, but you got to be doing extra work all the time, and it should just fall into your routine. You know, you're going to go get in the ice tub in the morning because you always get in the ice tub in the morning, not because you're sore. So just things like that.
After the Super Bowl last year, I saw you talking about battling through the back injury, and you got emotional talking about it. And I think anybody who has gone through back things probably looked at you and felt some of what you were feeling. Can you talk about, or I hate asking a question that way, what were you going through, and what was the process of getting ready to play, and then how are you, like, are you okay with that now? Like, have you healed from that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it at that point is just mental. You know, physically, it felt terrible. You know, at that point, you're just trying to get up, get out of bed, and figure out how you're walking during the day and moving around. But, like, when it comes to, you know, playing in an NFC Championship game or getting ready for a Super Bowl, it's just mentally getting your mind right and being able to go out there and play and perform. And, you know, everything leading up to that during the week, man, it's rough. You know, you're just thinking, God, how can I do this? And then every single day it's like, you know, let's just worry about what I can do today, how I can get better, and, you know, it's going to figure it out. But when you're leaning on the guys to the right and left and seeing that they're going through stuff and you're going to push through because they're pushing through, it's like a team effort. You know, I wasn't able to just play in the Super Bowl in that game because of me. I was able to play in there because of my teammates, you know, pushing me as well.
When you look at your working relationship with Jalen, I like to call it a working relationship because the center and a quarterback sort of have to be hand in hand there, right? And this is the first year you guys want to get extensive play there together. Talk about the Spike just said that.
Yeah.
Hey, nice question.
It's just like it's a personal radio guy thing. I couldn't believe it came out of my mouth.
You made me conscious of it when I said it. What was that evolution like from early in the season to the Super Bowl for you two working together?
Just figuring out what works. You know, we're still doing it. You know, it's an evolving relationship. I guess that's like, I don't know. You know, we would come
it's
here.
It's a marriage.
And work together.
It's a little bit of a marriage.
It is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to be on the same page. And, you know, going throughout the season, we're doing stuff at the beginning of the season that we ended up not doing at the later in the season. Like, yo, I don't think this meeting is working. We need to change the time, or we need to move this, or we don't need these people here, or we need this people here, and just figuring out what works best for us. And, you know, that's whatever we did last year, we probably won't do this year. You know, it's just, it seems like we need to be in constant communication, figuring out, you know, what's working for us and what we like and what we don't. And, you know, do we need to be bringing in other players? Do we need to talk to an OC or something else? And just figuring out, you know, what the vibe of the team, you know, it's just a little bit of everything, you know, whether it's X's and O's or, you know, how somebody's feeling.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. You signed a contract extension, and did you buy yourself anything cool after signing it?
Well, I got a TSA pre-check.
That's $70,
man. Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that. I remember that. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, though. Yeah,
I've been trying to get Ike to do it.
I'm slow.
Yeah, he says it's too many steps. He
Man, I'll tell you what, it's nice. I couldn't believe it.
Yep.
So what was the process like, though? Was it a pain in the butt for you to go through it? I'm sure it was worth it once you did it, but going through it, is it a little bit of a pain?
It really wasn't. Okay. I think it was just a procrastination, you know. Okay. I'm glad I got it done.
I can't get my wife to do it either. I'm like, all you got to do, it's two office
visits. I need to do it. Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
It's two office visits?
Well, you got to go. They have to figure out who you are. That's it. It's totally worth it. Mm-hmm.
But there is something about just putting something off and just complaining. And it becomes you. And you're like, I ain't going to do that damn thing because I already said I don't want to do it. So I'm not going to do it. And you just never do it.
I did that with Easy Pass for like a decade.
Yeah. I don't have my Easy Pass.
Yeah, I know it. Yes.
I'm never going to do it. But I'm thinking about it because they changed it from $5 to $6.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay, it's easy. You got a 20, and then it's like you break it off. You got three more visits, you know. Yep. But you got $6.
What are you going to do?
What am I doing?
Yes. Yeah.
I like his thinking.
I can't believe you don't. And you live in Jersey?
No, I live here, but like I'm driving.
You almost made Easy Pass everywhere.
It's ridiculous.
What does a good day at injuries aside, what does a good day at training camp look like, and what does a bad day at training camp look like?
I mean, I think a good day is when communication's good. You know, everybody's talking, everybody's seeing what's going on. But when a bad day is when people go out there, you know, they're tired, they're lethargical, and they're not, you know, looking up, they're not seeing what's going on in front of them, they're not communicating, and it's just like we're all playing on our own islands, and that's a bad day. And, you know, we're going to have some of those because training camp gets very redundant and it's long, but, you know, you got to come in here with the intent to get better every day, and, you know, I think we did a really good job this year, but, you know, it's impossible to do that every single day and have that perfect tension, but, you know, that's what we're striving for.
Who is the toughest defensive player you've gone against in your career so far?
I mean, Dexter Lawrence, man. He's got a little bit of everything over there.
Yeah.
He's a big
and you're lucky
too.
Enough to
big
get him face him twice a year.
Twice a year.
Yeah. So earlier in training camp, we work with Elliot Shore Parks regularly. And earlier in training camp, you had a quote, he's like the godfather of training camp statistics. And you had a quote that we talked about when you were like, you sort of downplayed them, you know. So Elliot gets to publicly grade you guys every day, and I just wanted to give you the chance to publicly grade Elliot to see if like you rate him scale of 1 to 10 on the job he does. This is a rare chance for you to get to like take a shot back at him.
Well, I appreciate you giving me this stage.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make anything personal. It wasn't personal. I just think in general when we're talking about training camp stats, I mean, it's ridiculous, you know? But at the same time, like if you're a fan out there and you see a tweet like, oh man, this left tackle's getting worked today. It's just like, all right, that is just like, where's the context? What are we talking about? You know, what are the stats of that left tackle sets today? That's what I need to see. I don't know what we're doing. We're just out here practicing. We're trying to get better. You know, if somebody throws an interception, hey, maybe we're working on an interception drill. Maybe the defense needed to, like, practice catching it.
Sure.
Yeah. You know?
Sure. Yeah, we tell Elliot that all the time. We think he stinks. So, yeah, just
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
Real quick, how's the jerky business?
It's going good. It's going good. We got some good stuff in the works. You know, I'm excited to get it out to more people. You know, right now, we're in a few spots, but it's mostly on the website. Jurgy.co, jurgy.co. We got five amazing flavors. If you guys like spice,
yeah,
the mango habanero.
I'm a jerky guy.
We'll kick you up. It's good.
Well,
it's
so good. So as the radio station vegan, it is a request.
Oh. Well, no. Yo, I didn't know that before I got on here.
No, it's all good. Oh, you're not going to talk to us now?
All I'm saying is,
when the company gets big enough, you can make good jerky out of mushroom, and I'm just saying, I would be proud to support you.
Oh my god!
I would be proud to support jerky. I'm just saying, put it in the brain, in the back of the head.
Got protein in there?
There's plenty of protein. Oh, avocados, beans. There's ways.
Yeah, I mean, just have an avocado.
Well, but I kind of want jerky. I like jerky. I miss jerky a little bit. I'm just saying, it's good. All right, thank you, man. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate it.
All right, Cam Jurgens, thanks, man.
It's the WIP Morning Show. James Seltzer, Jody Cameron, John Ritchie, Rhea Hughes, Francisco Rojas hanging out. And we will talk more with him after we talk to a Novogare doctor in a sec, but I'd like to quickly welcome in Ruben Amaro Jr., brought to you by CJ's Tire and Auto, 18 convenient locations. We keep things moving. CJTire.com. Ruben Amaro Jr., good morning, sir.
Good morning.
All right, we are. We'll dive into your thoughts on the Zach Wheeler injury and all that, but first, let's go out on the guest line, and we'll talk to Dr. Thomas Sabolowski. Dr. Sabolowski is a family medicine physician with Feasterville Family Practice in Holland, Pennsylvania. He specializes in family medicine and neuromusculoskeletal medicine and osteopathic medicine. For more information on Dr. Sabolowski, go to FeastervilleFP.com. Let's bring the doc on. Good morning, doctor. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're going to dive into the nitty-gritty of it all, but just off the top, can you explain what the injury Zach Wheeler had is, as you understand it, and what the surgery yesterday was to repair it as an overall general situation?
Absolutely. So a blood clot can form in any vein that is either sitting around and not moving too much, or if you have injury in that area, or if people are hypercoagulable by genetic factors. There are two types of blood clots. There's superficial blood clots, or phlebitis, you might have heard your grandparents talk about. Not a serious one. It's superficial, doesn't really get any danger to the person. The deep vein thrombosis, the deep vein blood clots, are more significant because if they happen to move, they do get stuck in the arteries of the lungs and can really give you problems with breathing and also heart issues.
So Zach Wheeler had been complaining of shoulder soreness for a couple of weeks. Is that a red flag for clot, or how does that work? How do you know that you have a clot, Doc?
I think it'd be challenging in a pitcher not to have shoulder soreness, but definitively, that can definitely be a part of this process. A lot of overhead athletes, so your swimmers, your tennis players, your pitchers, can get pinching of some of the veins that drain the upper arms. So thoracic outlet syndrome is one of the concepts, and I do not know that he has that, but it's just one of the concepts that these overhead athletes get. Pinches off on the veins, once that venous blood sits around too long, it can kind of clot to itself and make a clot and clog up the vein. So definitely the soreness could have been just some significant muscle strain, or it could have been this clot that was starting to build and creating a whole lot of congestion and really feeling heavy and painful in that area.
So what's the possibility that this, after all of this work is done to remove the clot, that the clot returns?
So that's the multi-million dollar question right now, is what caused it in the first place. I am sure that they're going to re-image his vein and make sure that it's nice and open and that there's no clot remaining. But also, I'm sure they're also working on imaging to see if there's any pinching of that vein above this area. That would really increase the likelihood of this clot returning.
How likely is it in your mind that this is something he comes back from?
You know, definitely at some point, it's more than reasonable that he comes back from this injury. The biggest risk, like we talked about before, is if there's any little piece of clot left, it could go to the lung and create a pulmonary embolism. So I'm sure after this surgery, they're putting him on blood thinners to thin out the blood so that no other blood clots in this area right now.
So if he is put on blood thinners, how does that interact with playing baseball? Is that something that you can use while playing?
Yeah, what's a realistic timeline with the thinners and then post-thinners and all that?
So can you play a non-contact sport like baseball is much, of course, less risk than a football or something like that, where you're going to get a lot of bruising and extra bleeding. I guess that's the big question is, A, when his physicians think he's going to be safe, and B, which physician is going to medical legally sign off on him saying, oh, absolutely, you can go back to pitching. If they are able to re-image this vein and see that there's no blood clot left, and B, make sure that he's feeling okay, that'll be, I guess, up to him and his physicians, that if there's no blood clot left in this vein, we don't have that risk of it going to the lung. So, you know, in my opinion, he'd be able to come back to pitching relatively quickly.
What relatively quickly being like a month or two, or is it, you know?
In a non-athlete, we would consider at least 6 weeks to 3 months for the actual clot to be dissolved by the body.
So very unlikely that he pitches again this season is the point.
I like the guy before that said he was a glass half full guy. So I'm going to say that there's a possibility. there's a possibility in there. We'll see how this progresses.
Okay, I'll take that.
How often does something like this occur? Is this exceedingly rare?
So we see deep vein thromboses all the time in medicine and family medicine, usually more in the legs. Upper extremity clots are a little less common, but again, in these overhead athletes, it is a significant situation, but not very common.
Last question, Doc, and thank you so much for your time. Can pitching re-aggravate it? You know, let's say he is completely cleared. Will one of the issues that Zach Wheeler has to consider in coming back is the thought that will pitching make it more likely that he gets another blood clot?
Maybe. Again, if he has that thoracic outlet syndrome, if he has some scar tissue and some hypertrophy of the muscles that clog the subclavian vein in that area, then it could cause it to recur. I'm sure they're also doing a blood workup to see if there's any other factors in his blood that increase the likelihood of clots. And if that's the case, then there's some things they could do about that as well.
Fascinating. Thank you so much, Dr. Sabalowski. Again, you can find out more information about the doctor at FeasterVilleFP.com. Doc, thank you so much for taking the time. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, folks.
Awesome. Thanks, again, thank you to NovaCare. Awesome stuff there.
Always great.
Always great.
I like his, I'm going to go with the glass.
I appreciate it. Ruben Amaro Jr., we'll get back to the phones, 215-592-9494 in a few. And we'll get more with this coming up next segment, Ruben. But quickly, your thoughts after hearing the doc and just your overall thoughts on the Zach Wheeler situation.
Well, it's obviously very thorough what Dr. Sabalowski had to say. I mean, that was really interesting stuff. I'm just happy that they've taken care of it. They found it. They took care of it. And for, you know, I've known Zach since 2000 and I guess it was 18 when I was coaching there with the Mets.
Oh, wow. And yeah, I didn't think about that.
So I've known him for a long time. I've had an opportunity to text him a couple of times. I'm just grateful that he's healthy, okay, that he's okay. And that for he and his family, when I heard about this blood clotting at this age for somebody to have to go through this, really awful. And I'm just happy for him as a person, as a family man, and who he is. And he's a great guy. I've gotten a chance to know him a little bit over the years, and you know, he's just a good guy to be around. And it's really unfortunate. He's an important person for this team, not just what he does on the field, but also what he does in the clubhouse and on the planes and when they travel and stuff like that. So, but I'm glad that they found it. I'm glad that they took care of it. I hope it's not something that's recurring for him. And obviously we don't know that, but that's first and foremost. And then beyond that, I mean, obviously if he were to come back at some point this year, I think it would be nothing short of a miracle. It mm-hmm. sounds like to me, but I don't know that. I'm not a doctor and I don't know anything about what's going on inside his arm and his shoulder, but you know, I'm just hopeful for him that he's able to pitch again. For a number of reasons, he's been so great for the sport, and he's been so durable after having a real troublesome
early
part of his career. For him to become the pitcher that he is and the person he is has been pretty special, and I'm just hopeful he gets the chance to get back on the mound.
Yeah, I think every single Phillies fan listening agrees with that.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.